We were up to Perek Yud, Yud Aleph. Okay, we're almost finished. Okay, we're going to try to finish today. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Hey, on page 98. Hashem Tzadik Yivchon V'Rasha V'Oyev Chomos Sona Nafshei. Powerful Pasuk. Hashem describes his relationship with Tzadikim and with Rasha'im. Okay, when it comes to the tzaddik, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yivchon. Yivchon over here has to mean to... Okay, so we had this yesterday. Yesterday we had two perushim. Rabbi Chol really wanted to say this is the same. Really, it's the same. Ein hachinami, but I think there's still a different flavor, a different focus between Rashi and the Mitzudos, as the meaning of the word Yivchon, according to Rashi, means to test. And according to the Mitzudos, it has more of a connotation of to scrutinize. To monitor. So here we seem, okay, we have to go and see exactly how they want to translate these words. But over here it's Hashem with regard to the tzaddik, he is Yivchon, but v'rasha. We have over here two different types of things. We have a rasha and the ohev chomos, a person who loves violence. Okay, what is the difference between a Rasha and Oyev Chamos? How come with the Pesach Seder, we only have the Pesach Seder a Rasha? We don't have a child that's Oyev Chamos, the violent child. There are four people who come to the Seder.
They're talking about two.
No, is Bia Madriga worse than Rasha? That he's
a Madriga worse than a Rasha?
Yeah, that he's a Chayte Machte.
Chayte Machti.
Rasha is not talking about a
Machti, Machti.
He's just a Chayte.
Well, according to Gemara, it's only somebody who is doing it lahachis.
Yeah,
it's a
mumah
lahachis. It's worse than a mumah that they are.
Okay, I don't know. A rasha usually is a collect, is a general word, right. which collects many, many people together. I don't know. I really don't know. We'll have to see. But over here, it's very interesting that in this possibility, we have two different types of words. People, a rasha, and a person who loves. That's a very powerful word. Love is a very powerful emotion. We take it lightly. You just say, oh, you love this, love that. When the Tanakh used the word love, it's going very, very deep into the person's neshama. For a person who has a hanav chamas, I remember, this is very, very disturbing to me. I remember there's a place, you can go on Chol HaMoed trip, where they give you gear, they put you in protective gear, put on a helmet, and they put you in I don't know, kind of, you know, a suit that's protective, and they give you sledgehammers. And you pay money for this. And it's unbelievable. And you go into a room, and they give you, and you can go and you can smash. They have their televisions and computers and appliances, and there's walls, and you have the hana of. They give you 20 minutes to take the sledgehammer and to smash, destroy whatever you want in this room. I mean, and people pay money for this. People pay money. People have hanah of taking a sledgehammer and taking a chair and destroying the table, a chair, wall, sheetrock, bam, television, glass, thing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People pay money
old
for this.
Cars.
What?
Old cars.
Old cars. They have unbelievable. They give you this. It's a hanah. People have this pleasure in destroying things, violence. I mean, so you look at, so I remember I saw this video in advertising for this place, and supposedly it was a chalamoid. Trip for some people. Is this the Jewish way? Is this really something that a person should? What? I mean, it's a very.
It's better or worse than the paintball fights.
What?
The paintball was where you shoot at other people.
Right.
The paintball.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you know, these video games are very violent, but this takes to a new dimension. It's a whole different dimension to give people sledgehammers. And give them time in a room, and actually to be willing to pay money to do this. Is this a Yiddish Mahalik? I don't know. Here you have a person that's not described in a very good terms. He is associated with the Rosh, the Oyhev Chamos, a person who loves violence. And he's put in the category of the Rosha, and Hashem says about this person, Sona Nafshe Hashem detests. Hashem has a hatred, Hashem's neshama has a hatred for such people. Pasuk Vav, let's put them together, because the Rashi puts them together, Yam Ter Al Rishoim, Hashem will rain down. And that is a very interesting term, to use the word Motar. Motar is, we normally associate the word Motar only with blessing. Now, only is blessing, grain is blessing, geshem. And there are certain words you would think they're pure, and you wouldn't want to go and use it and abuse the word and associate it with harm. We have, however, borod. Hashem was a hint here, the Rabbi Meir who tells the pasuk, but by borod, Hashem rained down on Egypt borod. And there also the word rain, to descend, that word is used in reference to the destruction of Egypt with the makir of borod. Chazal sort of softened. They sort of soften the term motor in that context, and they say that together with Barad, there was also rain. It never rained in Egypt. Egypt never rained, and there was Barad, and they seem to say to a degree that when it says Vayamter Elokim Barad Min HaShemayim, the word Vayamter is not even going on the word Barad. There was Barad, that we would not use the word Vayamter because that's a blessing, and when it says Vayamter, it means there was rain. It rained in Egypt. It never happened such a thing before in the history of the world that it rained in Egypt. And with the rain, it happened to be that Borod descended and destroyed them. But the word Vayamter refers to rain, regular rain. And in fact, it was such a phenomenon, this is something a little bit of a drush, but in the first being explained, it was such a phenomenon that it rained in Egypt, the Egyptians were overwhelmed because it never rained. And how do they water their fields? Slave labor, irrigation, terrible slave labor. And when they saw this, such a thing that the water can come and water the fields without them having to break their back, they were humbled. And that's what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael, I'm taking you out of the land of Egypt where you have to go and you have to dig irrigation canals and engage in slave labor, to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is a land where Hashem waters the land. Waters the land with rain, and that's a tremendous bracha. So in fact, when you look in Paro and Parshas, when you look at Paro's response to the Barod, Paro said, you read it very carefully. He said to Moshe, just put an end to the Barod, but don't put an end to the rain. The rain, we like the rain. The rain is a blessing. That do not put an end to. When you pray to Hashem that the Barod should stop. But not the rain.
Yeah, but the same term is used for Sidon, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does it say there about Sidon?
Here Al Sidon, the Al-Moro, the first way.
Okay, so this is a good kash. So you see, it's not true. I'm saying that I mean, this is a drush. What I told you before is not that. That's a standalone idea.
Yeah, but what you mean, like the evidence we always tell you to look. If there's a place where you could interpret it that way, give me a precedence.
Okay.
The way the word is used accordingly, and that's your proof.
Okay.
So you only need one proof.
So the word over here is the Yamter, is Hashem is going to rain down Al Rishoim. Now we have a lot of different words. Pachim are coals. Eish is fire. The Gopher is sulfur. The Ruach Zil Ofois. That's something new. Ruach Zil Ofois is a violent wind. If you look in the Mitzvah Sili, it says Re'oda, a wind of terror. A wind of terror, a tornado. Does this mean a tornado? Does this mean a hurricane? You know, in order for hurricanes and tornadoes to exist, you have to be in a certain part of the world. This doesn't happen. You have to be able to have a certain topography.
The wind currents.
Well, the wind currents, there has to be water. This doesn't happen in certain parts of the world. It's almost impossible for it to happen. But here it says there was a Hashem will rain down upon them ruach, a wind of zil ofoitz, a wind of terror. Does that mean either tornado or a hurricane? One of the, they're very different. A tornado is not the same thing as a hurricane. They're very different types of situations. Minos kaisam, the portion of their cup. Okay, minos, the chelik of the kaisam, means like this is an expression, a poetic expression. They're going to get what they deserve. Hashem here is going to give our enemies, look at all these words. There's pachim. Are pachim two different? Are they two different things or are they one? Pachim and Esh. Is it the one and the same? Or two different things? I don't know. Pachim, Esh, Gofris, Ruach, Zilophois. Four things. There are four different ideas being presented here that will come down upon the wicked. And this is what they deserve. This is their portion in life, what they have done to the world. And the portion of my cup. My cup overflows. We have the word, okay, but they have the word cup is used as a reference to a person's portion. to what a person, his chelek in this world, in Olam Haba, what he deserves. Pasuk Zayin, ki tzadik Hashem, Hashem is a tzadik, tzedakos ohev Hashem, loves righteousness, yoshar, the one who is upright, yechezu pa neimo, the yoshar will see, will gaze at Hashem's face. That's a shocking expression, because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that v'ro'isiyes achoroi ufonai lo yeiro'u. And here it says that the yoshar, indeed yechezu, will gaze pa for neimo at Hashem's pun. Okay, we have the three psukim. Let's go to the three psukim together with the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David appears on page 98, right on this page. Sadik yivchon. Ma shani nirdof mishol lo hu bavur ha'avoyin. The Mitzudos David is learning these psukim l'shitosai. We're discussing the story of David and Shaul, where David is running for his life. And he says, this that I'm being neared of, I'm being pursued by Shalachu Ba'avur Ho'avoin, Rak Kein Derech Hashem, Hashem is testing me. Life is a test. Lahavchin es hatzadik, to test the tzadik b'yisurim. Im yamoy b'tzid koso, lehetiv achar yisoy. And the purpose of the test is to test the person, and that if he will remain faithful during difficult times, Hashem will reward him. The end will be very, very good. The loy mi sima soy oso mi yasroy. Hashem is not bringing hardship on a person because Hashem chas v'shalom hates a person. There's no such thing. Hashem is testing the person to give a person an opportunity to prove his loyalty to Hashem so that Hashem ultimately will bring upon him enormous reward and benefit. When and where? In this world, the next world, no one knows how this works. But this is certain, is that during difficult times, a person has to be mechazik himself to realize it's a test. This is a test, and just be strong. Be strong and just continue, stay the course. Stay the course, and I always think this memory always comes to my mind. I had a friend in Tar V'Das, and he comes from a very, very, he's a very big miyuchas. He's very, very chosh miyuchas. And this fellow was a brilliant, brilliant person. He's from a Hasidic family. I know, like, they call Hamish, a little more than Hamish. He had a brilliant mind and an enormous energy. And he had a falling out with his parents. And, you know, he had a lot of issues. He had some, you know. And he said to me, he wants to give it all up. He had enough of this already. He's going to, you know, just give everything up. He's going to go for that. He got to that. But yeah, Mamish got to the breaking point. And he had a Rav or a Rebbe that he was close with, extremely frustrated what he was going through. And he went to the Rav, and he told him this whole story. And the Rebbe, told him, you know, you're right. You're in a very difficult situation. You've gone through quite a bit of Gehenna, the Matzev, and you have all the right to just give it all up. All I ask you is, just in the meantime, don't do anything drastic. Just go through the motions. That's what the Rebbe told him. Come, go, in the morning, go to shul, like everyone else. Put on the tefillin. Just say the word. Don't have any kavan. Don't have any kavan. You want to say Baruch Atah Hashem with grace of kavan? Just put on the tefillin and lip service. I'm giving you a prescription. Just say the words without any kavan. Don't have any kavan. Don't think. Just come to shul, take your tefillin, put them on, and just make believe you're davening, and just read through the words very quickly without any kavan. And, you know, Shabbos, just, you know, go through the motions. Go through the motions. Don't just impetuously just you know, give everything up. And he listened to him and it worked. It kept him. It definitely kept him. And you know, I met him a while ago, and you know, Baruch Hashem, he looks very good. He looks, you know, he's you know, it's people go through very difficult times in life. There's no question about it. There are some people that are just, you know, whatever. They're just selfish, and they're lazy, and they're this and they're that. or the Balei Taiva, but there are people that are extremely, extremely frustrated and have a lot of pain, enormous pain from all different reasons, and it's very hard to judge anyone in this world. But Chazal said this something which is over and over. Here it says it in Tehillim explicitly. But during those very, very difficult times, part of a therapy for a person to cope with Nisyonos is to read these psukim and listen to the study. And that is, Hashem is testing the person. Hashem is hiding himself. He's testing the person. And just take a deep breath and just get through the day. And that's the parasha. So the parasha pshat is to elevate you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here to raise you high like a banner. Rabbi Maevsky is telling us the word nasos means to test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very often he tests us by hiding his divine presence from us. And that's what it says over here. Hashem, that's how the mitzvus embellishes these psukim over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing yivchon. The word means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing the person. And it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates the person. Hashem wants to harm him. Hashem wants to test him. V'rasha, aval es ha-rasha yisna. Hashem hates the Rasha. Im ki chadel hu min ha-yisurim. Even though the Rasha seems to have a very, very good life, he makes a lot of money and is very successful and has a lot of honor and prestige. Hashem has detest this person, and the day will come when the day of reckoning will come. Pasik vav yam ter. Ki soif ha-davar yikabel gimuloi mishulam. The end is going to be that Kachrach is going to punish him. Ki harbe rishosois kamotar yerdula. There are going to be many, many rishosois. Traps, areshes. This is not the word Rasha. This is a different word. Rishosoyis. There can be many, many traps. Kim kamot, like rain, like yerdu olav in Hashemayim v'yilokei bohem, and he will be trapped. There's going to be many traps that will come out. It's a very interesting translation of the mitzvus that we learned that all of these punishments are. He's calling them traps, and he's going to be caught up in these things. Minos koisam hamono lemalois koisam yed lemono, the portion to fill up his cup. Yeah. Meruach Zilafais return Lemak Pur Anios Rath Yavi Alehem. Okay, he's training over here. It's going to be a spirit of terror. Does Ruach here mean a wind? How does he really translate the word over here? Ruach Zilafais. Does this mean a mental state of mind? Or does this mean actual tornado? Or tornado and the wind? It's a mushal. But it means over here that his frame of mind is going to be certainly severely affected by his matzav. Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos, Tzedakos, each Tzedakos, Yehav, Loi, Yazva, Biyad, Oivav. Hashem loves a righteous person, and Hashem will not abandon him. Baruch Ato Adonai Elohim, Melech Olam, Shakol, Nehiyah, Bidvaroi. Mr. Cohen, I have to thank you every day.
Oh, please.
Every day, you bring coffee, you set the computer. He treats me with such honor that I don't deserve even one little thing you do here. And look what you do for me every single day. Thank you so much. Hashem should bless you. Bless all of us. Okay, vayit tzedakos, each tzedakos, yoyav v'lo yazav b'yad oivav. Yashar, ish yashar, yirem, p'nei Hashem, v'chu inyan mashul, m'melech batz v'dam, she'es asher yohav hu, the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king, the people that he likes, they're part of his cabinet. They're part of his inner circle. Alright, so that is the mitzvah. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Hein Vav, Ki Hashem Tzadik Yivchon, V'im Ibnei Sha'ani Loike V'nirdof Al Yideichem. According to Rashi, like the mitzvah is going back to the story of David and Shaul. The story of David and Shaul is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. Everything that's recorded in Tanakh is a message for us in Jewish history. We have two people, David and Shaul. That is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is David, and we have people out there in the world that are trying to harm us for no good reason. And there are many similarities, not Chas V'Shalom to say that Shaul, Chas V'Shalom to say anything bad about Shaul. The Pasuk says about Shaul that he was the greatest of the entire Klal Yisrael. Mishichmai ulamala, from shoulders and up, there was no one like him. He was the Bechir Hashem, but yet there was some.
David in particular was differential.
David was a Shver.
Yeah.
It was a shver. Married his daughter, Michal Bashol. And what? No, you know. Okay, and you could imagine, this is, you can imagine the shviga.
No mention of it.
Who was Michal? Was the daughter of who? I don't know. Who was his wife? Which one of the 18 wives?
I know, so
which
Shana,
one?
The daughter was like the mother.
No, you got the wrong one.
Shaul,
we don't know.
I'm sorry. Michal, I'm sorry. That's Shaul's wife. Who was Shaul married to? Shaul, it says that when Shaul. What?
Achinoam.
Achinoam. It says in the Medrash that when they went in those days, how do you find Shidduchim? They had singles events. That's what it says in the Pasuk. You went to a singles event. What was a singles event? Twice a year. On Yom HaKippurim and on Tu B'Av. It was a dance. Mixed dancing. Not mixed dancing, but you go to a dance.
No, it was a single dancing and the boys ran out and grabbed the girls.
So what happened at the dance? The girls would dance in the circle and the boys would watch. Can you imagine you do that today? The girls would, everyone, they would wear these, they would wear white gowns. Everyone would wear the same white gown, and the girls would dance in a circle, and the boys would stand around and watch, and the boys would pick the girls that they like. I mean, it's not fair, right? That's male chauvinism, for the boys to decide which girls like. And the girls would say, the girls would call out to the boys, the ones that were beautiful would say, look at for beauty, the ones that were, they come from Chashro Yichus, would say, Ein Ish El Labanim. Okay, the Gemara tells us that each girl would promote herself with what she had to offer. Everyone has something else to offer. So it says in the Medrash that when Shaul went to the singles event, he was so shy. He was so shy that he couldn't bring himself to look, to watch the girls dance and select a girl that he wanted to pursue. He was too shy. So what happened? Hashem makes Shidduchim. So one of the girls noticed Shaul was, so she pursued him. She broke protocol. She came out of the circle and she saw this shy boy that doesn't want to look at the girls. So she chased after him. Right, there are two types of Shidduchim. There's Rachel and Leah. Rachel was, Yaakov pursued Rachel. Leah pursued Yaakov. Leah went for Yaakov, went to get Yaakov, but Yaakov went to pursue Rachel. In some Shidduchim, it's the boy who pursues the girl. And in some Shidduchim, it's the girl who pursues the boy. When the boy pursues the girl, that's Midin Rachel. When the girl pursues the boy, this is Midin Leah. They say, you know, in Rosh Hashanah, there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The first day is called Rachel, and the second day is Leah. And has different Rachamim and Din. Rachamim, all the way, I don't remember which one, I forgot every how it goes. Maybe the first day is Leah, and the second day is Rachel. Leah is Midas Adin. Rachel is Midas Rachamim. The first day is Din, second day is Rachamim. So they say, I don't know if it's true or not, if there's any truth to this, is that on Rosh Hashanah, it's Nigzar, that coming year, all of the Shidduchim that will occur in the coming year. So the Shidduchim, so on which day, if a person gets engaged during the year, he wants to look back in hindsight, which day of Rosh Hashanah was it decided in Shemayim that he should get married. So if the Shidduch was which the boy found a girl and he liked her and he pursued her, he chased after her, that means your Shidduch was on the day of Rachel, which is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But if the Shidduch came about because there was a girl who saw a boy and she liked him and she went out, she chased after him, which is very common, even in the very right-wing circles, it's not uncommon.
The girl's father.
Not only the girl's father, believe me, there are plenty of stories. I can tell you plenty of stories about girls who knew of boys and you know, they come to the house on Shabbos and this and this, and they like the boy, and the girl does everything they can to get the boy. There are plenty of stories like that also. So those type of Shidduchim are the Shidduchim called Leah Shidduchim. Shaul was a Leah, product of Leah. David was very aggressive in who he wanted to marry. David, all the women that David married, it seems that David chased after them. Abigail, he met Abigail once, he was very... Basheva, he saw Basheva on the roof. He right away, he had him sent to the front lines. He wanted to marry her. Okay, David, Michal, how do you marry Michal? Whoever is going to kill Goliath is going to get my daughter. That was a incentive. David took him up. David obviously wanted to marry her. He took him up, and he went out and he risked his life to kill Goliath, and he got Michal Bashol as a prize. So David was a very aggressive in his approach to women. The three women that I know, David was married to 18 women. And many of them that we know of, all of them were done by David. David was one who triggered the shidduch. Michal Bashal, he chased after. Avigail, he chased after. And with Naval, was it really so good that maybe when she was alive, she really said to him, she indicated to David that my husband's a Rasha, and eventually he's going to die. Rachazal said this, and then you know, after my husband goes, maybe you want to marry me. But David did David. Okay, so you can. But Shaul, it's the Ferish Merish that says Shaul was very, very shy, unusually shy. It's a pasuk.
Because when Shmuel told him, right, and he came home and said nothing.
Okay, that's not regarding marriage. I'm talking about women.
In general,
women is a whole different world. You're dealing with women, forget it. You're entering into a world to itself. There are people that are very their approach to life is very different than the way their relationship with their wife. You see people like that. It's a whole different world. Whole people that are very macho. I know someone. Ibrahim. He's out in the world. He presents himself as such a gibor. Coming to his house for Shabbos, his wife has him wrapped around her finger like you can't imagine. Like wherever his wife is the boss. So very wonderful to me. What I see is a very wonderful marriage, but he's a different person. In public, he's such maybe you want to say a tyrant even. Like, you know, it's my way or the highway. And at home,
the truth is, it's
wife is totally in control.
I used to find that I was busy running a business all week long, and I was yelling and telling people what to do. When I got home, I said, you can handle it.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. You know, Lahavdil, this is a very interesting thing about you. I don't know if we should say this over here now, but once we anyway. Trump, 45, okay, President 45. So, listen, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do a talk now on my worthless opinion. What I think about his midos and his whatever it is, but there was one thing he spoke about once about marriage, and he said, I don't know how this came about, this conversation. People always say you have to work on your marriage. You ever hear these columns in the magazines? You have to always work on your marriage. Work on your marriage. So they interviewed Trump when he was running for president. They interviewed Trump, and they asked him about his wife, this, that. So they claimed it was work on your marriage. I don't know how that came up. And he said, listen, Trump said, you know, I work very hard. You know, this guy, I work very hard. The whole day, from Ashmeidus HaBoiker, I work. I have deals. I meet with people. When work is over in the evening and I come home, I'm very tired. I'm very tired. I don't want to work anymore. I'm not coming home now after a long day of hard work. Now I work the whole. Now it's time to work on my marriage. I work the whole day. When I come home, I want it to be peace, rest. It should be natural. I'm not here to work on my marriage. I'm working to make money. Money, money, money. I love money. I work on making deals. When I come home, now it's time to, it should be natural. Kishon Beisai. And you know something? That really hit me hard. They all hear these columns. Work on your marriage. Work on your marriage. Work on your marriage. If you read, I don't know if you read these newspapers, you really shouldn't. You know, Trump said this, Dvarim B'Talim, it's nonsense, working on it. It's either it works on its own or it doesn't. If it works, that's the type of ideal marriage. It should just be natural. Let's get back to the point over here. We're dealing with Shaul. Shaul Rashi over here says, Okay, Rashi over here is telling us over here that the mashal between Klal Yisrael and the David and Shaul is a mashal. It's a mashal, and we're using them as building blocks, as a makar to understand our relationship with the Umay Sa'olam, the struggle. V'imim neishani loike v'nirdav al yideichem atem mishalalim leim. You, all of you, my enemies, you sing, like David basically is saying to everyone, you're all part of the MSM, the mainstream media, and you love Lamar Elo Elo Elokim Azovoy. Your God has abandoned you. You're always looking for something to lie about. You're looking for something to lie. Loichenu, it's a lie. It's fake news. It's sheker. Ach, Hashem did not abandon me. Although it may appear to you that I am a nirdaf, I am on the run, I'm suffering a difficult situation. Don't lie. Don't say the reason why this is happening to me is because Hashem has abandoned me. That is not true. Don't go and run, reach these conclusions. Ach, Kach midas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyaseru l'nasos ha-tzadikim. This is Hashem's way to test tzadikim. V'lo yasar rishayim. You don't understand this because you're wicked and you, Hashem, does not test. Then he gives an example. Ha-pishtani hazeh kolzman she-yodea she-pishtano yofa hu makeh sholeha. The pishtani, the person who has flax. A flax dealer, as long as he knows that the flax is of high quality, he continuously beats it. In other words, he perfects it. He beats it in order to beautify the quality, to bring out the beauty of the flax. Who, as long as he knows she pishtana yofa hu makish olecha uche she'ena yofa, when he knows that the quality of the flax is no good, the flax, it's dried out, and beating it is not going to enhance its appearance, its quality, then he doesn't do it anymore, he doesn't beat it anymore. He limits his activity of crushing it, beating it, to beautify it, because it unravels. It will unravel. This is an incredible, incredible Rashi. It was kedai for me at least to come today and to review this Rashi. This Rashi is awesome. It's a beautiful mashal of why Hashem brings upon the tzaddikim yisurim. Because it's no different in this world than flax. It's kedai to go look at a video, a YouTube video of how they make flax, how flax is converted into linen, and the process is, it goes through a lot of yisurim. You take the flax that grows out of the ground, and you have to beat it, you have to comb it, and the more you beat it, the more you comb it, the more it's beautified. It becomes, the strands are a flow, and it has a unique beauty, and that unique beauty only comes through yisurim. And immediately when you look at the flax, you can see if it has potential, and if it has potential, then it's kedai to bring out the yofi. But when you look at the flax and you see the flax does not have potential, what are you wasting your time beating it? It's a lot of effort, a lot of work. You just leave it the way it is, and it is what it is. And adaraba, the more you beat it, the more you're going to wound it. Just cut your losses. This is the same exact thing with human beings. There are human beings that come down into this world. Some of them have a lot of potential. And those that have potential, they need refinement. They need to bring out their yoifi. And the way the yoifi is brought out, unfortunately, the way Hashem made the world is, they need Yisurim. And the Yisurim bring out that beauty. And then there are human beings who have less potential. And for them, giving them Yisurim is not going to enhance their beauty. It's not going to make a difference. The potential is not there. So those Hashem just lets them remain the way they are. This is what it is. So therefore, in this world, when we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon people Yisurim, we have to appreciate that these people are holy neshamas. And the Yisurim brings out in their neshama a yoifi that will shine brightly in the next world. This world is just a prozdar. It's a very temporary world. Life goes by very quickly. And the ikar is the yoifi that comes out from the person, the neshama, in the next world. This world is a place of refinement. And not everyone has that potential for that refinement to come forth. And those that do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon them Yisurim to bring forth that beautiful refinement. That's how David, this is unbelievable, this is Yisoides in Yadus, that Rashi here is bringing out of these psukim. Sana Nafshai, Hashem has a hatred. This is a principle of, we take this for granted. But if you take a course on the philosophy of religions, you will discover that Judaism is Das Yochid. That to say that God, he has a hatred, his neshama kav yochel has a hatred for the wicked people, this is unique to a very large degree to Judaism. Other religions, adrava, Hashem thrives on the wicked. Sana nafshai, we take this for granted, but David is saying incredible yisodus of yadus. Hashem has an incredible hatred for wicked people. Hashem puts away the punishment, what they are going to get in the next world. V'oz, and then in the next world, over here Rashi is calling the next world the oilam, that's aruch, that's very, very long. V'oz, then, yamter aleihem b'gehinoim. Hashem will rain down upon them over in Gehenim, pachim, lashayim pechamim, burning hot coals, zilafais, lashayim sreifa. So Rashi learns, not like the mitzudah stuff, the word zilafais means a fire, not what it said in the mitzudos, who learned the word zilafais there means terror. It means a delicate state of mind, or we want to really say like a violent wind. It's over here. Pachem, no, the mitzvah doesn't really define pachem. Pachem just means coals. Okay, it means coals. No, you're right, I made a mistake. I didn't appreciate that, you're right. According to the mitzvah, and now I get it. The word pachem means a trap. I didn't appreciate that. There's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the mitzvah as to the meaning, the simple translation of the word pachem. Pachem sometimes means a trap, like a fisherman's net, or a bird trap, a mouse trap, the Roach Motel. Check in, but they don't check out. Okay, a trap. That's how Rashi translates the word pachim, and according to the Mitzvot, the word pachim means a burning hot coal. And the Mitzvot elaborated. It's a fundamental different interpretation of the Pshat and the Pasuk. According to the Mitzvot David, how does Hashem punish the wicked? He lets them fall into their own trap, so to speak. Hashem causes them to stumble and do themselves in. That's part of their punishment. Okay, they do themselves in. They commit crimes, and eventually they get caught. They get caught in their own trap, or in a trap. Look at some of the biggest politicians, biggest corrupt politicians. Very few people, if any, had something good to say about Andrew Cuomo. Very, very few people. All the politicians, they talk about him. They all like sneer, and they say he's heavy-handed, nasty, threatening. Bully. What?
Bully.
I follow this every single moment of the day. Most of the day I follow, but not every single moment. Do you hear? They say anything good about bully. So what happened to him? What was his downfall? He fell into a trap. He got caught. He got caught with something. It was all making, exactly, a trap. Okay, that's how the Mitzvot David tells us what will eventually happen to the wicked. They will get caught in a trap. According to Rashi, that's not the Pshat. We're not talking about that. They're falling into a trap. In this world, more often than not, wicked people, they have a good life. They die very wealthy, in peace. Nothing happens to them in this world. They go down with a nice pension, a nice history, nothing happens. It's in the next world is where they get what they deserve. And there, Hashem pours upon them pachim. Hashem pours upon them burning hot coals. So we have a machlokes. We have a machlokes between the mitzudos and Rashi as to the meaning of the word pachim. The next machlokes is the word over here, zil ofos. What does it mean, zilafais? Does the word zilafais mean like a storm, which the mitzvah seems to mean terror, a state of mind, of a lack of yishuv hadas? Rashi does not say that. Rashi, the word zilafais means fire, burning, l'shoin sereifa. It's not a frame of mind.
I mean, it goes with the charcoal.
Right, goes with the pachim, the sego goes together. This pachim, this esh, and this gopher sulfur, and a ruach, a wind of a zil ofis of sreifa, a certain type of a burning. This is minos koisam. Rashi, that's how Rashi
in Hebrew,
runs.
In Hebrew, by the way, za'af is kaz, anger. Right.
Anger, okay. Okay,
za'af, without the lamed.
Without the lamed, right. But there's a lamed though. So, I don't know if it's the same. The lamed though makes a very big difference. I'm not sure it's the same. All right, let's see. Let's go further to Rashi. Umenachim pasa oisa l'shoin sar kotev, wind. Sar mean l'shoin of a samach. Interchange the sin. Make believe you interchange the sin with a samach. Sa'ar means a wind, a violent wind.
It's very common.
Yep.
Just the word sota.
Sota?
In the Chumash it's sin, but we never use it that way. They always, the Gemara always says
samach. Samach. So here means the sa'ar means a wind. That's really what the Mitzvah stuff it says. V'chein b'vnei zalafois ra'av, the storm. Zalafois ra'av in that context means the... A person is in a state, it's a frame of mind. His mind is stormy. I mean, there's no yishuv hadas. He's taken, he's overwhelmed by fear. Zal ofa acha zasni. Terror has overtaken me. Kiloimar so'aru sa'ar, a wind, or another pasuk which means that a storm has enveloped me. Okay, so Machlois and Rashi and Menachem
became greatly alarmed.
Alarmed, okay, that's another poetic expression saying the same idea. But this Machlois has been Rashi and the Mitzudois as to the meaning of this very unique expression of Zil Ofois. Is it part of the context? Everything over here in this pasuk refers to fire. According to Rashi, Pachim is coals, H is fire, Gophris is sulfur, which I'm not a chemist, but it means it's something which burns. And now we have another type of fire. What is this fire? I don't know what it is. It's called the Ruach Zil Ofais. What is that exactly? A wind of Serefa. How is the wind of Serefa different than Gophris, Eish, and Pachim? I don't know. Being a scientist. Gophris for Eish, Serefa Kol Arza. Okay, it's a certain type of burning. Obviously, there are different types of combustion. Every fuel burns differently. Okay, gas is blue. Why is gas blue on the range, on a person's stove? When you turn on the flame, what color is the gas? What color? It's blue. Why? I think they put a chemical.
Before the air, it turns to yellow. It's immediately.
It's different colors. Do they put something into the gas to make it turn blue? It could be because they don't want, otherwise it would be clear, you wouldn't see it.
If they check the stove and there's too much yellow in it,
yeah.
It means it's a leak of air into the gas stove. Uh-huh. It's not burning properly.
So you can see from the color. Every fuel has a different color. It's a very fascinating phenomenon because everything burns differently. Okay, everything has a different, therefore over here it's a very scientific process according to Rashi. We have four different, this Pachim, Eish, Gophris, and Ruach Zilophos, four different types of fire. And the fact that they are repeated indicates that scientifically it is a different type of combustion, and these are Mesholim for different types of punishment that the Neshama experiences in the next world. According to the Mitzudois, it's not necessarily what the Pasuk here means. It's describing this world, and it's describing that when Pachim is done with fire, a person falls into a trap. When the time for the Rasha comes to depart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up a trap where he finally gets caught. There are people who engage in crime their whole life, and everyone knows about it. People don't even know about it. But there's just no proof. There's just no evidence that can be presented to remove the person from his pedestal. And then one day he's sloppy, and he does a crime, a petty crime, but he gets caught. Oh, now we have evidence. And even though the evidence we have for what you've done is very, very minor, but now all of the people who are the victims, yeah. Good, you got him. There's no sympathy, because everyone knows it's an amazing momentum. It's a built-up momentum. You get away with it. And then when you get caught at the end with a little teeny thing, you fall into that trap. Oh, you're done. This is according to the Parish of Rashi. And then when it says Zil Ofois, it does not refer to fire. It refers to a lack of Yishuv Hadas. When a person is in a state of fear, pachad, person acts irrationally. He behaves in a very bizarre way. Now we go to next pasuk in the Rashi. Rashi pasuk Zayin says, "Ki tzadik Hashem tzulak osoy, Hashem is a tzadik, and He loves righteous people. Umerachim al hatzadikim v'oyv oisam, Hashem has mercy upon the righteous, and He loves them. Sheponemo yechazu yoshar, their faces. Sheponemo yechazu." We'll see Yashar. Now over here, Shaderach Yashar Nochoinhu Be'inehem. Now we'll see the next Rashi. Rashi over here, something over here very interesting. When I translated this pasuk, maybe I said it wrong. I translated the words Yashar, Atzadik, Yechazuhi. The Yashar will see Ponemo, Hashem's Ponim. And I said to you, that's very interesting because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, "V'ro'isi es achoy roi, ufonai lo yeiro'u." This pasuk that David is saying is a clear contradiction to what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ufonai lo yeiro'u." And here David is saying that the Yashar the Tzadik yechazu will see ponimo his ponim. Now that question is only based on the premise that my translation is correct, that the Yashar, the righteous person, will see Hashem. And what did the Mitzvah David say? Go back to the Mitzvah David. Yashar, Ish Yashar, Yireh will see the Pnei Hashem. Okay, so I translate the pasuk according to the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah David says that the subject of Yechazu is the Yashar, and who will he see? Hashem, Ponemo, the Pnei Hashem. Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi obviously was maybe have been bothered by this pasuk that says that Ufonai lo yeiro'u. So therefore we have to translate this pasuk in a creative way. And it has to be that the Yashar, the word ponemo, is going back on the Yashar. You have to read the words out of order. That the ponim of a tzaddik will see Yashar, will see good things. Let's look at the Rashi. The next Rashi, Yashar yechazu ponemo, Musaf al tzaddik. Okay, the word ponemo is referring to the tzaddik, the righteous individual. The righteous individual, he will see Yashar, Musaf al tzaddik, Hashem tzedakos ohev, Hashem loves righteousness, v'oisam asher yashar yechazu ponemoi. I'm not sure I understand this. Musaf, let's go back. Let's read the whole thing and we'll go back. Rabbi Seinu Pasru, our teachers have interpreted this to mean Horeshaim Yidruchun Keshas. That he's going back to the beginning of the Mizmar. The wicked people, they pull the bow. Al, who's referring to it? This is going to the wicked. We'll leave this for a moment. This is going back to what we learned over here in the Medrash. We spent time on this. The Medrash. We learned the Midrashay HaTanoim, learned this pasuk, not referring to David and Shaul, but rather the context of this Mizmar is Chizkiyahu, Sancheirif, Shevna. Okay, we'll go back to that in one moment. But before we go to that, let's clarify this point that Rashi over here is making. Let's just go back over to the Rashi, the beginning of the Rashi. Rashi over Kitzadik Hashem, Kitzadik Hashem, Tzedakos Ohev. One more time. Umerachim al Hatzadikim. So, let's clarify. Paz ki tzadik Hashem tzedakos ohev. Now, what does it mean over here, tzadik? Umirachem al hatzadikim. The ohev oisam, and Hashem loves them. Sheponemoi, Hashem's ponim, yechezu yoshar, looks at the yoshar. Shaderech Yashar Nochoin Hu Be'enehem. Okay, so let's now go back and read the pasuk again. The end of the pasuk, Yashar Yechazu Ponemoi, is going on Hashem. The word Ponemoi refers to Hashem,
Elohim,
but it means Hashem is looking at the tzaddikim. There is poetic repetition. Ki tzadik Hashem. Hashem is a tzadik. Ki yoshor Hashem. Ki yoshor Hashem. Tzidokoi sohev. Okay. So let's see. Ki tzadik Hashem. Hashem is righteous. Tzidokoi sohev. Hashem loves righteous deeds. And therefore, the yoshor, the actions, and the people who practice yashus, yechezu ponemoi, translate the words backwards, Hashem's ponim is looking at them. The ponim of Hashem, ponemo, the ponim of Hashem is engaged in looking, yechezu, at the acts of righteousness, which are also called yoshar, because this is what Hashem loves. This is what Hashem loves. Why? Because Hashem is a tzaddik. You have to read the whole pasuk backwards, mamish backwards, in order to understand the pshat in the pasuk according to Rashi. Read the whole word backwards. Panimoi. Panimoi means the face of Hashem. Yechezu is focusing, is looking, gazing, intensely gazing at yoshar, at acts of yashus, or if you want to expand the scope, or people who practice yashus. Why? Why is Hashem obsessed with looking at activity that is yashar? It's because Hashem tzedaka is oev. Hashem loves acts of righteousness, and yashar and acts of righteousness are one and the same. Why does Hashem love acts of righteousness and therefore gaze at people who do these acts of righteousness? It is because ki tzadik Hashem. Hashem is a tzadik. This is the way the Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk, which is 180 degrees from what the Metzudas David has said. The Metzudas David says, read the Pasuk forwards, not backwards. The Pasuk begins, ki tzadik Hashem, tzedakoi sohev. And therefore, what's the reward? The reward is that the Yoshar will look at Hashem, will have an opportunity to see Hashem's ponim. Not in this world, because in this world it says, Ufonai lo yeira'u, but in the next world, Rashi says, no, that's not the pshat. We're not discussing over here that the tzaddik's going to ever be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ponim, but rather what it means over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is looking. Hashem sees. Hashem's ponim is focused to gaze at acts of yashus, because Hashem, he loves this type of behavior, because Hashem is a tzaddik. Then in the next Rashi says, Yosho yechezu ponimo. So he's now coming just to break it down and explain it in more detail what he said. Yosho musav al tzaddik Hashem. This end of the pasuk, this section of the pasuk, goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. This entire section goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. Musav al tzaddik Hashem. Tzedakoi Sohev, he explains, the oisam asher yoshar, those acts and those people that are yoshar, yechezu ponemo, does Hashem focus on, does Hashem intensely gaze upon. Now we're going to go to new waters. Now we're going to go to what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says, this is Shev Lenich and Chizkiyo, but Rabbi Seinu Poshu.
The Targum also said, they will understand his faith. They will understand his...
Sevar means understand? I think Sevar means to see. Isn't Sevar mean to... Sevara? Sevara? Is that what it means? I think... Okay. Looking at a Kodesh Baruch Hu means to be able to understand his ways. To contemplate his ways. Okay. Let's see very quickly again from the right end of the Rashi of Israel. We say the Pashu Horishoim Yiduchim Keshas al Shevna. Visi Asoy. It refers to Shevna, yeah? In Kisuvim? Where are you getting he's quoting Targum Yonason? Let's listen to Rashi. Where is he quoting Targum? Where do you see that he's quoting the Targum? All right, let's see what the Rashi says. Rashi, Rabbi, saying the Pashu, what? Well, let's see. Rabbi Seinu Pashu, our Sham Yiduch Mikashas, Al Shevna Visiyasa, we're referring over here to Shevna. Referring to Chizkiyo. Fast forward 300 years from the first Pshat and Rashi. The first Pshat and Rashi, the context is David and Shaul. Now we're telling us that this is referring not David, so referring to Chizkiyahu. Upashu, Li Yishrei Lev, Al Chizkiyahu, Visiyasai, Chizkiyahu and his contingent and his followers. Ki hashasois yehoresun im hashasois neherosin al yodom. If Shevna was the opposition, when Yerushalayim was under siege by Sanherif, there were two groups in Klal Yisrael. There was Chizkiyahu v'si osoi and Shevna v'si osoi. The majority was with Shevna. Shevna wanted to surrender. He wanted to join, and the majority of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim at that time wanted to surrender. Chizkiyahu did not want to surrender. He wanted to fight, and to, not to be fight, but to hold out. And on his side was Yeshaya Hanavi. And Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. Ki hashosos, so over here, David over here is being mispal. If you, David al pi ruach hakodesh sees the future, and he's saying, Hashem, if you're going to allow for Chizkiyahu the siyasoi to be defeated, and to lose this battle, and to allow Shevna and the siyasoi to prevail and to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, to surrender to Sancheiriv, then im hashosos neherosin al yadam tzadikoi sheloi lama poal. What's going to be the end? Klal Yisrael will come to an end, and then the question will be, what was the purpose of all this? What was the purpose of creation? If the Jewish people will not prevail, the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, if that's not going to prevail, what was the purpose? The Seder HaMikros Novel Al HaMedrash, and Rash, and we already read this, we already did this yesterday and 2 days ago, we went through this already in detail, and over here Rash, finally at the end of his, of the Mizmah, he finally goes over and he says, okay, we know, we went through all this, but if you're going to take the Mizmah and translate the Mizmah according to, and assume the context of the Mizmah is Shevna verse Chizkiyahu, it's not going to work out. The words of the Pasuk do not fit. It's a Medrash. A Medrash is very selective. All right. There's a lot more to do, but unfortunately, we're going to have to just skip everything else in the Mefarshim here, because I am not gifted in giving over this information in a timely way. And therefore, Mirtz Hashem, on Monday, we're going to go to Mizmor Yud Beis. Monday, we begin Lamnatzech ala Shminis Mizmor Ludov. It's a very important Mizmor. Mirtz Hashem, to be continued, Yud Beis on Monday morning. 9:30, you wish, right? 9:30, you wish, but we'll try. We will try. Be here at 9:30. Okay. Now Lubavitch time, real time. Okay. Let's see, maybe I'll surprise you. I'll come early. All right, let's take a very short break, and then we'll do some Chumash.